You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
And today we have a really fun topic. Everything I say is going to be scrutinized because you have such different views on so many things related to sex and sexuality. Someone's going to take issue with me even saying this is a fun topic, but be that as it may, we're going to be talking about strip clubs. Sexy Striptease 101 is what we're calling this hour. And I'd like you to call in and tell us what your questions are for my guests. I'll introduce in a second. Your experiences, Ron Joburg. Have you, for example, been to the Lollipop Lounge before? I've been there several times, actually, in my younger days. Where else have you been? Royal? You might have been to. Some of my colleagues do not want to look me in the eyes. I'm asking these questions. The Summit, maybe. Or depending on how deep your pockets are, maybe you hang out in Rivonia at the Grand for all I know. That's very fancy, eh? Very la-di-da. I think the Lollipop Lounge is probably more of an equal opportunity club for your everyday man, the boy next door, not just the ones who have deep pockets or whose fingers are deep inside the taxpayers' coffers. 011-883-0702. Give us a call in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. The businesswoman behind the Lollipop Lounge, who's also an actress, a dancer, co-owner as well, is Gigi, of course, who's here with me in the studio. It's wonderful meeting you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
A vriendin van die perel.
Ja, alipad van die perel.
Alipad van die perel. Wil jy hallo sê vir die mense in die perel?
Ja, ek is baie lief vir die perel. My groot liefde lê in die Oeverberg, naby Hermanus.
Well, die perel is back on the map now with Miss South Africa is also from there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
I want to first talk about you before we talk about strip clubs and who comes there and what function they play in society, Gigi. Because a lot of people have all sorts of stereotypes. They would imagine that a businesswoman like yourself, it's not really a businesswoman, you're just some glorified suburban, should be in Queen, who probably didn't even go to university, didn't have another job maybe, and another career, and so you just ended up having a sleaze club. But that's of course not true. I mean, you have had firstly a deep interest in the arts through ballet, for example, mime.
I studied drama.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness in Paul, so I come
from
all
have a past.
Yeah. And then I went to study B drama, and movement is part of the course. And I ended up as a young actress working for Pact in those days at the theater in Pretoria. And, you know, we were earning those days 180 rand a week from Pact. And so I saw a small advert looking for cabaret dancers, and I went off and I did one of my first shows was at the Summit Club and at the Alba Room downtown Joburg those years. That was in 1990. I started dancing and it was great years. And we were still dancing with nipple caps and G-strings in those years.
Where did that interest in the dramatic arts come from?
I think from my father. He's a composer. And so I grew up with classical music in the house. We all danced. We did ballet, jazz, mime. That's what we did.
That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it means that you have a relationship with your body and what it can do that is very unique. Many of us, we don't like our bodies. We tend to think of ourselves in very psychological terms, who we truly are. We try to be charming with words, with personality. But your body is an incredibly important part of how you move through the world, quite literally.
Yes, everywhere. It's the way that you walk in the shopping center. It's the way that you sit. It's the way that you present yourself. Yeah. And it's very nice for us to see young girls starting as dancers and how they actually change, how they become so sure of what they do on stage and how they change their way of dancing.
When was the first time you did a full frontal nude scene?
I was at Varsity and I did a production called Equus, and it was one of the first full, it's male full frontal and female full frontal production, and I had to put a photo of my dad in the foyer to not let him in.
So
he would have dragged me off that stage.
How does the transition come about from studying drama, being involved in all these productions? You could be for 50 years, you can go on, I don't know, be on Sieve de Laan, but you then go into this different world, this different part of the economy that has to do with dancing, for example. Mm-hmm. Is dancing an art or is it just entertainment for men who are bored in their marriages?
No, it's a complete art. I've got beautiful, beautiful dancers, and they're true showgirls. I mean, they just, everybody comes alive when they go on stage. We work with entertainment. We've got a lovely stage at the Lollipop, and it's really been designed in such a way so it's easy to, and I love to take people on stage as well to get audience, the, some of the people on stage. We're very well popular with the bachelor parties.
Yes, you are.
And that's a lot of fun because, I mean, it is, he's nice and it's important to take him on stage and his friends love it as well, you know.
Okay. Well, if you're listening to this conversation, have you been to the Lollipop Lounge? What has been your experience? If you are in a relationship with another man, long-term or otherwise, casual or married, what do you think about boys going off to strip clubs around Joburg? Does it worry you? And what do you think of the industry? What are your thoughts about it? 011-883-0702. We'd love to hear from you in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. And if you've worked in the industry or still are, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you're a dancer yourself. Maybe you're part of the front of house staff. What have you observed? What have you experienced? A lot of people have perceptions about what happens when you go to a place like the Grand, when you go to a place like Lollipop Lounge. What do you have to say to people who have all sorts of moralizing judgments and other assumptions about what goes on in the inside? Gigi, put your headphones on for me. We'll take some callers and just interact with them a little bit. Our first one is Temba. Hello, Temba. How are you?
Hey, you see me? How's it?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. I just want to give an experience or an outline on my first experience at the Royal Park. Right. It was a friend's bachelor party, mm-hmm. So we went there about 2 years ago. And, yeah, it's an insane experience. And I parted with way too much money than I planned.
You say it was insane. What did you get up to?
Apart from, because it was my first time ever at a strip joint, so from the girls, the acts, the shows, the dancing, and that much ease into that, let me say, like, trying to find girls. Usually, you know, if you're a modest guy, just trying to find girls, having to see all of that there is a bit overwhelming.
What, too much of an assault on your senses?
Jeez, like everything is there. Everything is there. Whatever it is that you're into, you're gonna see it. So for me, having spent so much money there is what's keeping me from going back. I saw
how much money did you spend?
I went into way beyond, into the thousands. Oh. So because of that, I can't go back there.
And what did you buy with that money?
All sorts. From the lap dancers to the, and cause as soon as we got there, they had just started the show. It was two girls on stage, and then they called us up on stage and they gave us toys, and then from there we obviously interacted and participated in the show.
Did you buy a private experience?
No, I couldn't take it that far because I'm married.
That's the right. that's the right answer, Temba. Joe, good morning. Hello, Joe. Hello, Joe. Hello. Hi, welcome to the show.
CBS, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Have you been to a strip club before?
Well, I actually own one.
Which one?
We own Hydro, which is a strip nightclub in Rivonia. We're about two blocks up from the Grand and about half a block away from Teasers.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of Hydro. What is your unique selling point?
Well, we moved into the strip club industry about 3 years ago and actually decided we wanted a cleaner environment. So what we want is we want a nightclub with a level of nudity. And at the level of nudity, we don't allow anything more than lingerie on stage or on the floor. And you would pretty much get to see a lady in lingerie. At which point in time, we turned around and we said, you know, it's all great for the guys to watch. What happens to the lady patrons that come to the nightclub and want to dance the night away? And funnily enough, 3 weeks ago, we decided to introduce the Hydro Hunks. And they now perform every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. And we do have a small, intimate ladies section where the ladies can sit, have a party, and pretty much watch the boys get semi-naked and scream and shout just like the guys do on the main floor, and then they can go back into the central section of the club and be in an upmarket nightclub.
I like that. What's been the initial interest from women?
It's actually been phenomenal. On Sunday night, we had 42 girls invited into the VIP section to go and watch a quick show. And, you know, they ended up staying for a good hour where the show was only a 10-minute little taste of what goes on.
Mm.
So pretty much like you see on Magic Mike, our guys, our head dancer is called Magic Snipe. And, you know, it's all in the name of clean adult entertainment where, you know, what goes on in a strip club stays in a strip club.
Mm.
And nice ladies, gentlemen, and we've taken it to say we don't want to be branded a strip club because there's a lot of negative emphasis on that in the market.
That's true.
So we rather call ourselves a strip nightclub.
A strip nightclub. Okay, and that's fascinating.
And that's what we hear it. There isn't physical nudity on the dance floor. You know, people only go down to their lingerie. But should you want that, there's a lap dance room and a private room. And yes, that does go on. And it does happen.
Okay. Well, let's manage it to a couple of issues I wanted to talk to you about, Gigi. I mean, when you started with Mike, the Lollipop Lounge in Randburg, I think it was in 2005, what was the idea behind it? Because there are plenty of strip clubs and all sorts of sex clubs around Johannesburg. Mm. And the Lollipop Lounge has managed to stay the course. Mm.
You know, I've danced for 15 years before we started Lollipop Lounge. And Mike comes from the security industry. He worked for many years at the old ranch, and that's where we came from. And I just believe I do what I know best, and I love entertainment. I love the stage. I love working with the girls. It's very rewarding, and I think it's just better to stay and believe in what you do, and that's why we've been there for so many years. This will be our 14th year at the club.
What do you say to people who say this is just for the titillation of men, and in a society that is deeply patriarchal and misogynistic, clubs like your own just to perpetuate the subjugation of women?
You know, our girls have got beautiful bodies. They're not shy to show it. I believe that we turn men into sex objects, because as soon as a man comes into the club and we turn him into a sex object, oh, the girl's purpose is there to make money. That's how they make money. And by turning men into sex objects, that's how they make their money.
Okay, so it's not so much the women who get objectified, they objectify
love,
the men.
Men love being sex objects, let me tell you that. They've got no problem with it.
18 minutes after 11, let's take a little bit of a break. Have you been to any of these clubs? And do you like being turned into a sex object as a man? Call us and tell us what your experiences has been. And women, are you interested in a club like the one that Joe had just described to us? Magic Snipe, would you be keen to go to a club like that? And how do you feel about the idea of your partner going to a place like the Lollipop Lounge? We'll take your calls on the other side of this.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
Indeed, and we're talking about strip clubs, and we had conversation with Gigi, who's one of the co-owners of the Lollipop Lounge here in Randburg. I want to pick up on the conversation we started there, and why it is that men come there. You were saying men come because they love being treated as sex objects.
Well, we've taught the girls that if you treat men like sex objects, then they spend money because they love it. And you know, it's that feeling like the last time that maybe that your wife looked at you when you were on honeymoon, when she looked at you and you were gorgeous. And that's, if the girls treat the guys like that, the customers, well, then they willingly give their money to them.
And who comes to Lollipop Lounge in terms of over the years, just your impression of the demographics? Do men come alone? Do they come in groups? And is there
We've got students coming in groups. We've got older men coming in groups. We've got, they're from all over. And that's why it's important also the music that you play in the clubs to cater for all the needs, to have older girls and younger girls. Because, and also not only skinny girls with beautiful bodies, but also girls on a bit on the bigger side, because it caters for everybody's needs.
Mm. How did you come up with the name? If memory serves, you get an actual lollipop when you leave, don't you?
The what?
You get a lollipop once.
Oh yes, only if you're a good boy.
Uh,
Yes, that's where the name comes from. Okay. Yeah.
Louise, good morning to you. Put your headphones back on for me, Gigi. Hello, Louise.
Hi there. Hi there, Miss Elliot. Yeah, it's making me laugh if you've been a good boy, and I think it comes down to that, being good and proper, and if you're in a relationship, there's accountability. So we're talking about if you're single, you're accountable to yourself, you go where you want, you do what you want.
Yes.
But if you're in a relationship, I think there's got to be a level of honesty. So my question would be, if people are there by themselves, men or women, are they quite happy for their partner to know where they are? If they are, well, so be it. Why not? I was married for very, very, very many years. And I know that some people were dishonest with their spouses. Fortunately, not mine. Mm. And I think there's a world of hurt happening there because it is, in a way, a subtle betrayal. But if there can be honesty, and I think that's what everybody who goes into any place has to say, is, am I doing this in secret?
Mm.
If I am, watch out. If I'm doing it openly and honestly, well, no problem.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Gigi, you are nodding there in agreement.
Yes.
On the other hand, you can't be the moral police, right?
No.
You can't know why people are coming here.
No. But we get a lot of people coming in that spend a lot of time talking to the girls before they go for a dance. And a lot of lonely people come into strip clubs and talk. And a lot of the girls get to know them by their names, and they even know what they drink. They know what their family's names are. It's really a place of not only dancing, but I always say to the girls, you shouldn't just be the best dancer, but the best listener to what your clients actually come for. Because there's a lot of lonely people that come to a strip club. But there's a lot of students that come there for a good time. And we've got a lot of couples that come into the club.
Couples even?
More and more couples coming into the club. And then they choose their dancer. They would go off and have a dance. There's nothing wrong with a bit of fantasy in a relationship.
Mm.
And that's the issues that we're speaking about in a play like Nipple Caps and G-Strings, about keeping fantasy alive in a marriage.
What happens upstairs?
We've got different sections. We've got a non-touched-on section. Then we've got a touched-on section. And I've traveled over the world. I like to go to strip clubs. And South Africans are actually so spoiled with erotic entertainment. A lot of places are very, very conservative. But it's like smelling a plate of good food, and you can only eat at home.
Are you sure no eating happens on the premises?
No, it's not allowed. It's a lap dancing club. So it's all about entertainment. It's all about looking in somebody's eyes and telling him, you are the best looking man I've ever seen.
But of course, you're not present when some of those private transactions happen upstairs.
No, I'm not. But we do have people that regulate that all the time.
Mm. The reality is that you also get a lot of people who, even if they did not intend to become predators as men, once you are in a highly eroticized environment, you're drinking a little bit, you've got all sorts of things, you are letting your proverbial hair down, you might misbehave.
Yes.
How do you ensure the safety of the dancers and the staff members, which must be very important to you in that kind of environment?
And that's where strip clubs, you know, properly run strip club is so important, because I've got bouncers in all my positions. They know exactly what they're looking for. It's right of admission. But I'm telling you, I'm working with strong dancers. These are not meek individuals. And you know, the media is very quick to say, oh, these girls have got such a sad story. They must come from orphanages. Shame. These are powerful, strong girls. And
oh, really?
Yes.
Tell us in general, but real examples, the kinds of backgrounds they are, what they do.
Well, some of the people that I've worked with, they've gone off and they've opened up their own pole dancing studios. I've worked with psychiatrists. We're working with more and more young students coming in and moonlighting and making extra money over the weekends. And these girls are well-spoken girls, strong girls. There's no sad story about them. Okay, I do work with a lot of single parents, and I've got a lot of respect for the girls that bring up the kids alone. But it's a vast array of girls that I'm working with. And these are definitely girls that look after themselves when they're doing a dance with our customers.
Mm. Let's go to Santa. And Michelle, thank you so much for calling in today.
Hi, CBS. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yes. So my experience, it was my birthday, and the guy I was dating then took me out for dinner, and then after that we went to a strip club. And yeah, everything was cool, it was fun, and then he paid for me to get a private dance. Mm. Yeah. So it was a very liberating experience, and it was very fun. I mean, compared to what you hear before you get inside one, it's a really cool place.
How was the private dance?
It was, at first I was like, okay, I cannot believe I'm doing this. But yeah, it was just a girl dancing for me. A part of me wanted to just sit and talk with her, but yeah, quite interesting.
That's fantastic. What did that do for your relationship?
I think me and him, after that, we were very open about our desires, because I think with the private dance as well, it opened up another aspect to my sexuality and what I'm open to as a person. So yeah, it was a very good experience.
Okay, thanks for sharing that, Michelle. Can be transformative. You might discover that in fact you want to kiss a girl and like it. Yes. Okay, give us a call and tell us what your experiences has been. I'm now intrigued by couples in particular. If you've been to a strip club, what was the experience like? Did you have to set boundaries? Was it awkward? Was it liberating in terms of what it did for your relationship even? 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, on 021-446-0567. You can also share your perspective, your stories, by giving us a call on our WhatsApp number. That's 072-702-1702. Okay, that number again, 072-702-1702. It's 11:30. Aurelie is standing by with the latest in EWN headlines. Have you been to a strip club, Aurelie?
Thanks, Eusebius. Good morning.
702 and Cake Talk.
Talking sex.
Indeed, and we're talking sexy striptease 101 today. And we are in conversation with Gigi, who is from the Lollipop Lounge here in Randburg in Johannesburg. How do you go about learning to be an erotic dancer? Like, what's the gold standard of getting it right?
Well, you've got to have a beautiful body. You've got to be an exhibitionist. And then, you know, it's very difficult to find girls that just will come out and be a dancer. If it's not for you, well, we always say try it and just come and talk to us after. If it's not for you, it's not for you, because it's not every kind of girl that can just go on stage and take their clothes off.
Okay, so if Megan comes knocking at your door,
I'm
my
gonna
producer.
I'm going to work on her.
How would you go about even assessing whether she's fit for purpose?
No, she's a beautiful girl, but you know, it's only after she's, we've got to first of all turn her into a showgirl. Mm. Big hair, makeup, and, but from there.
Oh, look at her.
And she's got a beautiful body. I like that position.
We should have put a poll in here. We could have tested her.
So, and then it's quite easy to turn somebody into a lap dancer. But the thing is,
who does the training?
Some of the older girls train them, but we've got a lot of girls that's been dancing for many years. We've got dancers that's nearly 45 years, and they still make plenty money. So,
do you have to be very fit?
You have to be fit, but it's all about your attitude, and it's about being an exhibitionist. And it, as I said, it's about being a good listener, and it's long hours. It's sometimes it's not the kindest of audiences, because you know that you will be in a club competing with other beautiful girls, and it's all about money. So it's difficult. It's a hard job.
Do you know how much they earn? Do they get a basic salary? Is it all tips?
It's not tips. You know, we don't call it tips, but if it's about how many dances you're actually doing throughout the night. So I mean, you can have a good night. It's all a gamble. So on a Friday night, you can have a very good night, and on a Tuesday night, a terrible evening. But it's about the girls that's been sitting there for a long time, and they know exactly how it works. And it's also about smelling money. Because I can see money. When I'm walking into the club, I always say to the girls, there's money, there's money, there's money. And you only know that after.
What do you mean? A bit in terms of the men that come through,
you can see the guys that's going to spend money. They've got that look about them.
Okay.
Yes.
Do I look like money?
Yes, my dear.
Yes. I don't have land, but I look like money.
You do.
It's a good start. Anele, good morning. Hello, Anele.
I'm fine. You said, yes, I like the strip show industry, and I've been in the one in Maverick in Cape Town. It was nice. Okay? Let me, I want to ask Gigi whether at her club doesn't have a facility whereby disabled people can come, because lots of the clubs, they don't cater for us.
Who's us, Anele?
Disabled people.
Disabled people,
yes,
you mean?
Yes, we do. Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We've got a lot of disabled people that come in. The club is designed in such a way. So you are most then welcome. They will give you a lot of attention.
Okay, I can't wait for that. Then I'll talk in a minute. And Gigi then, and do the pop out.
Yes.
Anela, which one have you been to?
Maverick, the one in Cape Town. Fantastic.
Okay, I haven't been there. And how was your experience?
Oh, I enjoy it. I nearly throw my crushes away, by the way.
Okay.
I enjoy it, I won't lie.
Thank you, Anela. Now, you've been all over the world. You've seen strip clubs in different countries.
Yes.
How conservative or how out there are South Africans in terms of enjoying our sexuality and our bodies?
You know, we are very conservative still. But what you can get in the strip clubs, that you can have a touch dance, that is quite open-minded. So that's why I say the South African audience are very spoiled with what they can experience in strip clubs. But I think the South African mindset is still very, very conservative. And that's why it's very difficult to get a lot of girls that just sort of become strippers. It's not an easy career, because I see it as a career, because that's what I've done as a career. It's not an easy career to follow, but it's a great way to make money if you can endure the long hours and the competition in the club.
Do you think there's still a huge taboo around strip clubs in South Africa? Let me
you
be
know,
practical.
I'm not
going to
open
it.
A strip club in Hermanus. Do you understand?
Off in Potchefstroom. No, but what I mean by that is, When people come to your strip club, do they sort of like just quietly, quickly slither in and get through the turnstile so they can get out of the sanitizing light of the sun and into the darkness?
Yeah, we do get customers like that. They've never been there, that choose like a little dark spot and sit there. And sometimes the girls will approach them and they would say, no, I'm just leave me alone. Yes.
Yeah.
And I would say to the girls, why is the customer sitting alone? They said, no, he's very scared of us. So that happens. We get customers from all different kinds, people that it's their first time. Last night we had somebody from Sydney. It was his first time. And we had an interesting conversation about what's going on in Sydney and what goes on in South Africa.
Gigi, what does the law say about strip clubs? Because part of the aspects of taboo is just about social norms, right? And people feeling that I'm doing something that is a bit icky. That sometimes people feel like that, wrongly so, in my opinion, but they do. But the other weird thing is that I think the other reason why there's so much like secretive, and I hope no one sees me, please don't take a picture of me in front of the lollipop lounge or the grand, is that people almost think as if they're doing something illegal. Mm. What is the legal status of a strip club?
Well, it's a place of entertainment. You know, we've come such a long way from where I was dancing in 1990 with the G-strings and nipple caps. Then the nipple caps went, then the G-strings went. So it's full on nudity. But I mean, you see.
And that's not unlawful.
No, it's not. And I mean, you can see that in a production on stage, a normal production as well.
Okay.
So, and you can go to a concert and see girls in bikinis. So, I mean, it's really moved so much since from when I started, from 1990 to where we are now.
Okay. So if you come to the Lollipop Lounge tonight, you don't have to fear that at 1 o'clock there might be a police raid.
No. And because we've been in Randburg for so many years, and they know that we've only got South African girls, we provide work for South African girls. You know, the big thing about, there's drugs in strip clubs, you know, our girls wear so little clothes. You can see when girls are using anything like that. And that's also be like a big media thing. That's why the whole mindset of the clubs has changed. I get a lot of girls coming in now, just normal customers jumping on stage, experiencing with their sensuality. And sometimes we struggle to get them off stage because they're having such a good time.
There's always one, isn't there? Andries, good morning.
Oh, good morning. It's a question for Gigi, actually.
Yes.
Gigi, in your younger days when you used to do bachelor parties and people used to hire you.
Yes.
You used to have this rubber stamp.
Yes, I still do.
Oh, you still do it?
Okay, now we've got a lollipop rubber stamp.
Okay, because I remember I was at that same bachelor party. The chap actually got into trouble by his wife.
Yes.
So what happened, Andries? Did she give you a rubber stamp?
Yes.
No, it was the bachelor. We hired Gigi, actually, for the strip.
And where did he get a stamp?
On his bum.
Oh, my goodness. Did the wedding still go ahead?
Yeah, afterwards, but he had to please explain it.
Yes, I'm very well known for that stamp.
What was the rubber stamp that sounds?
Yeah, it says G-I-G-I, one bum, one cheek, Gigi, you know. But now we do lollipop.
Yeah. I love that.
So we mark the boys.
Gigi, we had someone calling in earlier talking about his club in Rivonia.
Yes.
That now also caters for women. Do you cater specifically for women? And I'm not talking about the ones who come as couples.
You know, we do a lot of bachelorette parties and stork parties when she knows she's having a boy. That's a nice place to do something exciting. And then we encourage the girls to dress up sexy, jump on stage and experience the power that the girls feel on stage. And it's a huge lot of fun. And then if they wanted a male stripper, then we always get a male stripper in for them. But the girls do very well by themselves just being on stage. And actually, we get some of the girls to teach them in pole dancing. And I've got a little section private for the girls. And then from there on, they move to the main stage.
But isn't there a huge untapped market here? I mean, we pretend as if women don't have as much raging hormones as us men.
Women go wild in a strip club. Yeah, of course.
So why aren't there more in general around the city, our big cities?
Because
it's just taboo.
No, it's not taboo. I think it's just the mindset of women is just not the same as, you know, men are eternal hunters. And with his 200 rand, when he buys his lap dance, girls, this is how it works. With his 200 rand, he's done his hunting and he's bought his lap dance. And that's how I don't see girls as so much as hunters as men.
Mm. Okay. Girls, what do you say to that? Are you also eternal hunters, unbeknownst to the owners of these clubs? Let Gigi know what you think. I suspect that there is room here for diversifying the sector, as it were. 16 minutes before noon.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
We're talking about strip clubs and we're chatting to Gigi, who is from the Lollipop Lounge in Randburg. I'm very curious. So the Lollipop Lounge has been around now for about 13 years. Over that long period of time, how has business been? Mm. Are strip clubs a little bit like alcohol and cigarettes? Doesn't matter what the state of the economy, people want them.
No, absolutely. We felt that things were getting tight.
Really?
We closed lunchtimes. We closed about 3 years ago. We closed lunchtimes. That whole thing where companies would take the employees out and spend on entertainment, that's all gone. So we open from 4 till 2 in the evening. But you can definitely see that things has changed. People think about how they're spending their money. And also the mindset of the dancers, where you've got to train them and say, listen, it's scarce. Cash is a scarce thing. Look after your money. Look how you use it. Save your money and stuff like that. So it's changed, yeah.
What's the relationship like between the dancers? Is there a lot of tension, fighting?
Yeah.
There comes Eusebius with a fat wallet.
Yeah.
I saw him first.
Oh, yeah. That's my client. Why did you take my client? So, yeah, everybody knows if that guy comes into the club, he likes that specific girl, and they would stand back and respect her. But if she is not there and she's missed the shift, well, then he's there to take the money. You know, they're going to be there. It's jealousy, and it's hard working with women. It's, like I said, it's a hard career. It's not easy. Mm. And anybody that comes to me and says, oh, I want to open a strip club, then I say, have you ever done this? You've never done this. It's very, very hard.
Is it a career that's meaningful for the woman, or is it simply a means to an end, realistically?
Well, like I said, I've been working with girls that's been doing it for many, many years, and they know exactly how to make their money. And they do, and they've been doing it for so long. So I see it as a career. Yes, you can make it a career, but you're going to need – it's like playing rugby or any sport, that there's going to be a cutoff date, and when that cutoff date happens – then you got to be ready to go to do something else, and you've got to set yourself up for that day when you.
As you've done. I mean, you've got parallel careers, really. You're a business person now.
But it's quite scary because I mean, when you're going to be 30 before you know it, and then you're going to be 40, and yeah, by 45, the people are going to start asking you how old are you now. So that is going to you've got to prepare yourself for that.
John, good morning.
Hello, are you serious?
Yes, welcome.
Hi. There's a car in front of me which is called Lolly Cow, and I just wondered whether she had a branch in Cape Town for like slightly obese ladies.
No. No.
Is that your preference, John, for slightly fuller figure women?
No. I like a leaner, meaner figure, but I just thought it was amusing at the time we're talking about the rubber stamp with Lollipop. This car turns up with Lolly Cow.
Oh, no.
Men that do go to strip clubs that I've spoken to, and I've been to the Lollipop Lounge, the one thing that a lot of men do like about the Lollipop Lounge in preference to places like the Grand, that they say that you are price competitive, but that also that the dancers that you have are more diverse in terms of not just racially, but also body types.
Yes, because you know what? I just think there's men out there that's married to bigger women. So, I mean, he likes bigger women. So it's no good that we just cater for one specific need. You've got to cater for all needs. And it's quite surprising sometimes that although she might be a bit bigger, how popular she is. Because I always say to the girls, it's about the girl that's really enjoying herself. The more you enjoy yourself, and the customers love a girl that's enjoying herself, that girl's going to be popular and they're going to book her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a couple of questions here. Someone wants to know, I don't think this applies to you though, but whether having female and male strippers wouldn't that be problematic on the same venue? I suppose that would apply to the guy called earlier.
Yes, I don't think the South African guy would really like to have naked guys walking around. I've had one evening, I got a male stripper in for our dancers to treat them, and he was extremely well endowed, and the poor customers they said to me, Gigi, how could you do this to us?
That is absolutely brilliant. I think we've got a voice note there. Let's play it, Abel, if you still have it.
Definitely going to send the podcast of Gigi's interview to my daughter Jessica, who was born in 1990. Just want to thank Gigi for the hard work she's done in basically normalizing dancing and making sexuality part of everybody's life. I walked in as an uninitiated art lover to a strip club in Harrington Street when we first arrived in Cape Town, thinking it was an art exhibition, which was actually a block down. And it was an eye-opener for me to see these young girls performing on the platform above. And I did feel a little bit scared for them because there was a sort of a atmosphere in the club. So I'm grateful that there are people like Gigi making things safe for young people to dance and enjoy their bachelor parties and things like that. Thank you, Gigi.
Thank you.
What a wonderful voice note. And it leads me to actually the last question I wanted to ask you is exactly what your reflections are on sexuality and how strip clubs and dancing can, in a country where we don't even talk about sex or sexuality in general, what strip clubs can do to help us just to think a little bit more productively and more healthily about our bodies and sex and sexuality.
You know, I would encourage a woman out there that's never been to a strip club, you know, come along, bring your husband and come out for an evening and come and look at the girls because they are absolutely true performers and such, when they're on stage, they're strong women. And that's what stands out in a strip club. And the nice thing for me is, you know, it's work provision for young girls, putting themselves for varsity, buying their first little car, making them financially independent. Mm. And that is very important in South Africa at the moment. I mean, we're going through hard times. There's a lot of people finishing with matric that does not have jobs out there. We've got to face reality. And I'm not saying that everybody it's for everybody, like I said, but it is a way of creating jobs and it is extra money, although it is a gamble and it's a hard career.
Mm. Yeah. Where is your establishment for the uninitiated?
We're in Randburg. We're in Corner Bond and Burke Street. And you'll see we've got a flashing red light on the building.
You do indeed. How much is it to get in?
It's 150 rand normally, and then after 10 o'clock our shows start, and then it's 200 rand after 10 o'clock.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.